The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of prayer, and we're getting ready to Roman numeral 7, page 5 of your notes. All right, everyone now catch their breath. That was a challenge. All right, let's take the usual time to remember that we are under the grace of God at all times. We have to utilize the principles that God has given us in order to maintain fellowship with God so that we can learn and appreciate Bible doctrine. This is your opportunity to make that adjustment and keep yourself in that regard during the teaching and communication of this information. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we are here to grow in grace and knowledge, to be refreshed and encouraged with regard to your plan. We thank you for everything you provide us with in these very perilous times. But we understand that this is the way it's going to be, justifying the return of Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord to follow. Be with us in our study in Christ's name. Amen. Things to pray for, some objects. This is not inclusive, but it is things that we are to pray and keep on our prayer list. Wisdom is probably the most important thing you can pray for as a believer. Insight and understanding with regard to the plan of God. James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, and we do, even if we are down the road quite a ways spiritually, we are to pray for spiritual insight into the plan of God, and this prayer has been answered at Maranatha Church with regard to our spiritual breakthroughs and understanding over the years. So continue to pray for wisdom and insight, anything that we yet may not know or understand, that God will continue to reveal these things to us collectively and individually. The example, Solomon began his reign, and he prayed, he took over the leadership after David passed, and he became the new leader, and he prayed for wisdom. And specifically, in his case, it wasn't just general knowledge of the plan of God, it was wisdom with regard to how to rule Israel. He felt inadequate, and he asked God to give him wisdom to rule the nation after the rule of his famous father. 1 Kings chapter 3, and this is a lesson that he didn't act presumptuously. Oh, I can do this. He didn't. He was a young man. He did not have a lot of experience, only by observation of his father and how he ruled Israel. And so while he was an accomplished individual humanly, he did not rely on this. And at the outset of his career as a king, he took over. He is commended here at this point in his career. Again, a young man, a believer. It says that he loved the Lord. He walked in the statutes of his father David. Except, this is strange. This will strike you as completely strange. At least it does me. I don't know. I can't speak for you, I guess. Except he sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said to him, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Then Solomon said, "You have shown great loyal love to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth," content, the word, "and in righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loyal love that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." So here is his prayer request. "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child." This illustrates his humility. There are others who, if they stepped into this position, would not have this kind of humility. It isn't because he was inept. He was smart. He was intelligent. He was handsome. Had all this in front of him and inherited this entire kingdom to rule over it. And yet he humbles himself and says, "Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I'm a kid in a man's place. I have assumed this position. So, your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you've chosen, a great people, who are too many to be numbered or counted." So what is his prayer petition? What is Solomon praying for? Of all the things he could pray for, God gave him a blank check. Pray for what you want. "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil." He would be in a position where he would have to make many judgments, the things that came before him. Some were straightforward, some were not. "For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So he prays that God will give him the necessary wisdom to fulfill his function as a king. This was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, that Solomon asked of this. This pleased God. Again, most people, given a blank check, "Pray for what you want, and I'll give it to you. What do you want?" He says, "Because you have asked this thing, and not asked for yourself long life, nor asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Justice means in dealing with people, you deal with them fairly according to the truth, not any other factors are involved. That he would judge righteously and truly with regard to all the cases and situations that might come in front of him. "Behold, I have done according to your words." God would continue to bless his thinking processes from that day forward so that he could rule in all these cases, the easy and the difficult ones, to resolve situations. And there are examples in his life where he did this. And as a result of this prayer and God's blessing of him on a daily basis, the wisdom of Solomon became, at that time in history, renowned. This man has the right answers. He knows what to do in given situations. He does not have to necessarily rely on a lot of counselors. Not that he would be object to that. It's just that he now is a one-man show pretty much, and he is going to rule Israel, and these cases will be brought before him. And he will be able to judge properly based on the facts and render a proper verdict in the many cases that he had to face. "Because you've done this, I have given you wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before you." That's saying a lot. You're going to stand above those that came before you. Nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you've not asked for. Both riches and honor. So that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. So in his sense, in terms of his niche and circumstances, Solomon's wisdom and the prosperity of his kingdom is renowned. He is an interesting case study, to say the very least, as a believer. He had a bad period in his life, a real bad period. He came out of that bad period in his life. So, in the dream, this is what God revealed to Solomon, so that he asked and prayed for wisdom. People need to pray for wisdom and how to execute their responsibilities in their niche, and ask God for wisdom to help them to be a better or good fill in the blank. Whatever it is you do, you pray for wisdom to help you through the day. Obviously, you learn Bible doctrine. That's the starting point for all of us. But wisdom, so that you can handle yourself properly in a variety of situations. Your everyday job and responsibility. Getting up and going to school and being out there with people who are in the cosmos, who are not informed spiritually. God will give you wisdom on how to deal with these people and deal with situations. Moving on. This will be a challenge today. Praying for the authorities that rule over us. And we are told to do this in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. You look for encouragement wherever you can find it. I was encouraged that our governor will not follow the mandate to vaccinate the National Guard soldiers if they don't want to be. It's unconstitutional. And so he and his top general, they are not requiring this mandate. He criticized a school superintendent for firing teachers that would not be vaccinated. So, it doesn't hurt to pray for these people. There are those that are beyond hope, clearly. What you can pray for them is they can be frustrated. God can control the heart of the leader and put different influences upon people so that even sometimes bad people can do the right thing. Our main concern as believers in all this praying for those who are responsible for something that is going by the wayside in parts of this country is law and order. The country has become exceedingly lawless. Not just the usual criminals out there that will take advantage of anything and loot a store by the hundreds, walk in, loot stores, because they know that nothing much is going to happen to them, or they believe nothing much is going to happen to them. They're completely lawless. Like I read in the news that they had done with these Nordstrom stores in San Francisco. 100 people walking in and just shoplifting everything. It's unbelievable that this kind of thing goes on. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then, that means at the top of the list, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority. So we have an ulterior purpose for praying for these people. And that's brought out here in this verse, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life, go about our business without a whole bunch of interruptions and chaos. Do our jobs, go to work, do whatever we do. So we need to definitely get those prayers up there with regard to the establishment chain of command in all godliness and dignity. So that is the prayer for the authorities. And of course, the authorities in Paul's day were largely of a pagan disposition. They were not Christians. But still, they could and would at times follow proper procedures for the ruling of the people so that the people can go about their daily lives without interruption, without chaos, and do the things that people want to do. So today, we need to pray. We can also pray to whatever degree that there is an exposure and frustration of the incredible evil that is being sponsored by those in power. A lot of it. These things are not an accident. These things have been planned and are perpetuated, all of them. It's where we are right now at the end. We just got to hold tough, hold fast, and not become weary and so discouraged that we are tempted to throw in the towel. Well, you are obviously to pray for your pastor teacher. I can give you a list afterwards if you like. Just kidding. But I'll let you figure it out by being led by God the Holy Spirit. Because arguably the most important person in your life is your spiritual shepherd. What's the most important entity for a bunch of sheep out in the field? The shepherd. And you need a spiritual leader to be faithful and communicate to you what you need to hear spiritually. Other people are very important in your life, obviously. Goes without saying. But you need someone who is a designated, authorized spiritual leader to provide you with the necessary information so you can be a survivor and excel in the plan of God in these very perilous times. We are at the end of the times. This cannot continue indefinitely. This encroachment and this growth in evil that we see all around us. The civilization, as we know it, has gone way from to worse. It is really spinning out of control. A lot of people recognize this. That things aren't the same. This country is on a life support system. It really is. All right, whether you look at it from the standpoint of the economy, it seems to be good for a lot of people, or any other factors involved. They're out there yelling, telling about the bad things that are coming. This is going to happen. I don't know. I rest in and I'm reassured by the fact that our Lord controls history and has authority over all mankind. He can raise people up. He can take people down and will. So just keep praying that God will continue to provide for us a reasonably healthy pastor teacher who can teach you Bible doctrine, provide you with the encouragement and the refreshment you need after you've been out there for a day or two or whatever it is Romans 15:30, now I urge you, brethren, and I would say the same thing to you. I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And of course, he wrote the letter, as we know, from and sent this letter to them with a desire to follow up and to visit them. Had never visited these believers. But he asked them to pray for him. And of course, he was in particular types of situation that he was facing. And he asked for prayers that he would be able to come and visit them and encourage them face to face. That finally happened under unusual circumstances. 2 Thessalonians, another example. Again, this is all nothing new to you at Maranatha. But that's one thing. The other thing is, you've got to do it. You've got to pray. I thank God that I know that there are those out there praying for me through the trials and tribulations that we have gone through as a local church, particularly in the last few years. And I am grateful for your prayers. And I thank you for that. Second Thessalonians 1. Let's see what I got here. Just a second. I've got the wrong chapter. Sorry. 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. Now he's out on his missionary deal, and be glorified just as it did also with you. In other words, I have a repeat of the Thessalonian experience in his current missionary efforts to establish local churches at that time. And throw in, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith. They don't operate on the same principles that we do. Praying for the congregation as a whole, the believers here at Maranatha, who are under various tests and situations. You got a snow list, isn't that big. You can look at the names, and you can pray. You can pray generally and specifically for the believers here. We are part of a body. We're not independent. We are a part of a body. If one part of the body hurts, the whole body takes notice. That's the way it should be. At the very least you can do is pray for the individual, if not come to and do any aid or assistance. I believe we at Maranatha Church do a pretty good job of taking care of our own. Doing good to all men, but especially to those of the household of positive volition. We're not indifferent to the testing and the suffering of individuals at Maranatha Church, nor should we be. We should be aware of that, and we should pray for them accordingly. Prayer works. Prayer is a powerful thing. Do not neglect it. And in this regard, the congregation as a whole Paul praying for the Thessalonians. He had a big prayer list, didn't he? And all these different churches and groups had reports of things coming in, good and bad. There was a lot on his plate. But God gives the individual, whatever their assignment, the grace and the resources to pull it off. He does not put on us more than we can handle. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the plus H, joy, with which we rejoice before our God on your account? So he gets a very upbeat report with regard to the Thessalonians. He was concerned about them because once he left, they came under significant persecution. Are they going to fold? Is all my efforts on their behalf going to go up in smoke because they just do not want to stand in there and endure the sufferings. The report came that they're doing great. They haven't missed a beat. They have not retreated in the face of their persecution with the absence of their apostle. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face. Well, around here, that's not a primary problem. I mean, it can be an issue if I was sick or down for a little bit, and I have been on occasion, and that you pray for my restoration and we get back with it. That's important. May see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. They can only do so much during the relatively short time that they were there. They did a lot in establishing these believers, but they needed more help, more information. They didn't have a Bible like we do to turn to. They did not have the luxury of opening up the Bible and reading it like we do. They had to rely on what they had heard. Second Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling. It's a way of expressing that you have been called into the plan of God, and that experientially you are found worthy of that calling. And fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, will be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, moving on. We should not take for granted our basic living grace provision that God has so wonderfully fulfilled for me and my family over the years. We have not lacked for anything. Through the course of my life as a believer, even when things were thin, somehow, some way, provision was made. And so in the prayer, well, that's just the statement where we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, which means food. Food's basic to the illustration. Do not take for granted the things that you have as a believer. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, etc. Do not take these things for granted. Thank God for them and continue to pray for them, that these things will be provided according to the measure of God's will. And importantly, what can I say? We are to continue to pray that we'll continue to make or maintain, as the case may be, the maturity adjustment. Because that is what we're supposed to be doing, growing up spiritually and advancing from a baby believer to a mature believer. Some of us here, we've had a lot of time to make this happen. We're not new to the game. Some of us may be, but we're generally here, the ones that are here today, we're not new to this. We've been around a long time. And we should be, by now, mature believers. We should have cracked that maturity barrier, going from a baby believer to an adolescent believer to a mature believer, and to maintain that, because that's the key right there for us who have reached maturity. That is the key for us to gain the crown. Colossians 4, 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. So there's another example with regard to prayer in this regard. All right. Well, I don't have to be exhorted to pray for this one. The Lord's return. That's before me almost constantly. The Maranatha plea. Lord, return. People will call me up sometimes. Well, what's Maranatha mean? It's an Aramaic term, a loan word in the New Testament. And it means, basically, Lord, return. That's what it is. It's found at the end of Corinthians. One time. The Lord's return, which is associated with being alert to the times in which you find yourself, being alert, being sober, watching, praying. So, again, that's that verse I mentioned. That's where Maranatha occurs. Paul's sign off of this 1 Corinthians epistle in those last verses there of the book, the epistle. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul, my handwriting. He had to do that because there was some unscrupulous people sending stuff around claiming that they were Paul. It's unbelievable, but not surprising considering human nature and the way people are. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Well, that would go over real good. Maranatha. Love of the Lord is not just some emotionalism. It's hearing and doing his words. Living under the truth. And that demonstrates the level, which would vary among believers, of one's love for the Lord. Putting scripture with scripture on this. It isn't just words and emotionalism. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you. All in Christ Jesus. Amen. Moving on. We are, as noted, but again, we need to separate this out. Individuals who are positive to doctrine, we know they're positive, they've proven it, but they're under some type of notable testing. Now, we're all under some kind of testing. That's not, sometimes it's not, you know, very noticeable, but we are all under testing. 3 John 2. We've covered all this. This letter was written to one believer, a very famous Roman name, Gaius. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Love in the sphere of doctrine and truth. That's where it really works. We're on the same page. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So reading between the lines here, he wouldn't be mentioning the health factor if he was in good health. He was under health testing, and Paul was praying that he would get relieved from it. A petition on someone that he held in high regard. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Flipping around here. (Clears You also joining in helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. All right, moving on. We have all of our, and this is fundamental to, we don't do it like we should. We don't pray like we ought to. The Bible says that. Under testing, under adversity, we are to humble ourselves. That's a key. 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the appropriate time. In other words, under certain circumstances, you're not going to stay there indefinitely. You're going to be exalted. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to be vindicated. Of course, for all of us now, we brought it right down to the rapture event. That will be our exaltation and vindication. Now, individually, in certain things, yes, this applies to believers in time where they have endured a situation for some time and have hung in there instead of, resorting to their own understanding and trying to change the situation. Some situations you cannot appropriately change. They're fixed for now, and you stick with them. Casting all your anxiety on him. If you haven't been trying that, do it. There's a lot of reasons today for people to have anxiety. There's a lot of bad news out there. There's a lot of reports of a lot of things. And you can get caught up in this too much. You can't do anything about it. It's out there. You can whine about it, say this and this and this and this, and they're doing this now. It's true. The thing is, don't let it help affect your mental health, your well-being, your sense of well-being. Remember who you are and where you are and what's going on. We're in the devil's world. It is a world that is an antagonistic. It always has been to the interests of believers. And all the more today with what's going on, the antagonism. The devil's involved in all of this. The whole idea is to destroy human freedom, Christians in general, particular rather, and bring in their new communist world order. That's what they want to do. A lot of the nations are on board with this oppression. It's man-made, satanic, but it's man-manipulated. They're no longer, with exceptions, they are no longer interested in upholding our inalienable rights given us under our Constitution, our God-given rights. That is not in view. It is to enslave people. I was amused at the thing that was sent to me by email, where a teacher had a classroom that of kids, students that were pro-socialism. Everybody ought to be equal. Everybody ought to have the equal amount of money, details, material things, etc., etc. So he did an experiment with them. He gave them a test on whatever subject it was. He averaged out all the grades and gave everybody that grade. Those that studied hard, they got a lesser grade. Socialism. Those that didn't study got a better grade. He did this several times until everybody flunked. Because students did not want to work anymore. Why should I work hard and get a bad grade while these other people are not doing anything? And so it caused resentment among them. There's your socialism. I didn't do justice to it, but it was in a newspaper. That was their thing. That's what socialism or communism is. It's to take from the rich and give to the poor, and make everybody on an equal playing field. It kills human initiative. It kills it. You wouldn't have this great country with all it has in it if you didn't have human freedom and initiative on the part of people. Some people don't have much initiative. Okay, that's their choice. Other people have higher initiative and want to excel. That's the way it should be. Not some level playing field, to take from the one class and give to the other to make everybody equal. That kills human initiative and other things. So anyway. It never works. In all the countries and places that they've ever tried to establish this communism, it never works. It's unnatural. And it is also satanic. I mean, all this, it's a political system, but it's a doctrine of demons. That's why they attack all of these things. Private property, freedom, human freedom, rights. So how'd that work out for Russia before it broke from it as a country? They didn't. Those at the top, they live well. Anyway, enough on that. So we're to cast all our anxiety on the Lord because He cares for you. And we will look at Philippians 4:6. That's a verse to have in your memory. This is a large order, but it's in front of us. Be anxious for nothing. Now that's a large order, to say the least. People are anxious for a lot of things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's more intense prayer. With thanksgiving, that's your recipe. Don't leave thanksgiving out of this recipe. Okay? Offering thanks in the midst of whatever you're going through. You got a lot. If you think about it, you and I have a lot to be thankful for. Let your requests be made known to God. Get your prayer list out, write up whatever it is, and offer up your requests. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Inner peace, when it operates in the midst of a test. I've experienced it. I know others have experienced. In the midst of a really big test, they had peace. They were not wringing their hands, etc., etc. They just had inner peace. God is in control. He'll take care of this situation. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison or guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you're not falling apart. You're relaxed. You're in fellowship. God's got this under control. Whatever it is, you have to discipline yourself to do this. This isn't something that just, going to automatically happen. You're going to get bad or scary news, perhaps from time to time. You've got to stop, get in fellowship, and implement this formula. And keep doing it as often as you need to. And asking God to help you, to glorify you in the midst of whatever trial you may be facing. So you can be relaxed about it. Instead of upset and falling apart and resorting to things that aren't appropriate. Think about these things. Something like this happens. There's nothing you can do by being upset, being anxious to change it. So you got to get a handle on the situation. And it takes a little bit, but you can do it. You get a handle on it, and you can take it one day, step at a time. Let's take our break.